It is good once again to see everyone here this evening. We're very thankful that you're here, and we got a visitor or two. We're thankful you're here also, and we want you as a visitor to know that you're wanted and you're needed, and we're very thankful that you're here. And if you have any questions about anything, please don't hesitate to ask. I got some really good news here real quick. Linus Davis was baptized into Christ today. Amber and Lee's daughter, they come and visit quite often Sunday evenings, and they go to a Jackson Temple congregation. But that's great news. I'm sure most of us know them. And let's pray for her future in the Lord's church. Oh, I was afraid I wouldn't get a PowerPoint either this evening. All right. Well, we've got a very straightforward lesson this evening. Talk about being vessels of light. Of course, our theme for the year being vessels of honor. And I want us to really think about the importance of this topic, being carriers of light, vessels of light, right? And what we're going to talk about this evening is not our light, but it's God's light, and we reflect that light. Now, there were three main Jewish big festivals every year. You can open your Bibles to John chapter 7. We're going to mention something there, and then in chapter 8 to get us started. And one of them, John chapter 7, verse 2, was the Feast of Tabernacles. And some your translation sometimes might say the Feast of Booths. Either way, the name's fine. And basically what they would do is the Jews would move out of their houses, their homes, for 8 days, and they would get sticks and branches, and they would make little huts. And that represented the time of the children of Israel, the 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And of course, if you go back and you read about that, we know about the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And, you know, and it was a pillar of cloud in the day, a pillar of fire at night, and it was God's representative presence on the earth. It was God's manifestation, there it is. It was called the Shekinah glory. The Jews called it the Shekinah glory. And of course, you know, anytime the pillar would start to move, they would pack up wherever they were staying, and they would follow, right? And it was, you know, God was saying, I'm here with you, I'm here to guide you, right? And I want you to follow me. So that's the event, the Feast of Tabernacles, chapter 7 into chapter 8 especially, that was going on where Jesus was there. And so what Jesus was saying here, right? So the Bible talks about Jesus going into the temple. It was time of Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. And so that's the setting. But when you get to chapter 8 and verse 12, we read, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, when Jesus does that, when he says that here in John chapter 8 and verse 12, right, he's pointing to those big, and what the Jews would do in that time, when they're celebrating this, they would build two giant candles there in the temple courtyard, and that was, of course, for the Feast of Tabernacles. So Jesus makes a statement here. He's saying, that's me. Right? I am that manifestation of light on this earth. I'm here to guide you. I am God in the flesh. So when Jesus makes his statement here, I'm the light of the world, that's what was going on. Right? He's talking to these Jews celebrating this, those two big, large candles, right, representing the pillar of cloud, pillar of light. So that's me. Right? He says, I am that light. I'm those two candlesticks, if you will. And now there's eight I am statements in the book of John, and this is one of the key ones right here. Right? Each one of these I am statements, Jesus is trying to bring out the fact that he's deity, that he's God among people. And when he says, I am the light of the world, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Right? And he's saying, follow me. And that particular word there in the Greek New Testament for follow speaks about an exclusive relationship. right? You're going to be a follower. You're going to be a disciple, right? I am the light of the world, and you're going to exclusively follow me. He's saying, if you're going to follow me, it's all about total commitment, right? And you'll never walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. And Jesus says, and Paul writes in several places in the New Testament, and even the Old Testament, listen, we were not made for the darkness. Right? We were made for the light. We were created to see in the light, to walk in the light, to live in the light. Paul in Ephesians 5, and again in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5, right? We're to walk in the light as children of light. And in all of this here, we're being deeply challenged, not for God to live in our story, to live in our works, to live in our lives, right? We're being deeply challenged to live in His works, to live in His light, to live in His ministry. Right? And so sometimes I think we kind of get that wrong. You know, I want Jesus in my life, so I'll invite Him into my life. I'll invite Him into my light, into my ministry, into my work. And that's not the way it's supposed to work. And so I think we're being really, really challenged in all of this. You know, I need to see Jesus as the light of the world, and I have to decide, am I going to be committed to follow Him and work in His works and live in His light? And so therefore, then it doesn't matter who you are, right? If you're a preacher, an elder, a deacon, or whatever you do in the secular world, you're, you know, a teacher, engineer, lawyer, it doesn't matter what you do. You might be retired, right? And it doesn't matter who you are, because God is the one at work, and you're invited into His work, His ministry, and His light. So, and when we do that, we're becoming a light to the world. And there is a difference between searching for the light and following the light. So real quick here, I want you to think, where do we begin as we think about this? I just want us to be reminded of something in the very beginning here. Right, Jesus calls us to start with Him, the light, and then journey in that Shekinah glory, the Hebrews called it. Right, so let's begin at the only place that we can begin, and that's Genesis chapter 1. And most of us can quote verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Right, and we know this, earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Right, but then in verse 3 tells us the first thing God spoke into creation was light. And you probably know this very well also, right? Let there be, remember the next word, light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Right, the very first aspect of spoken creation is light. Right, separating the darkness. Right, and that wasn't symbolic, that was real. Right? But again, also now that symbolism follows throughout the remainder of your Bible. Right? And God has always been about creation. God has always been about giving light. Right? He's always been about showing us the pathway. Right? He's always been about showing us where to go and how to get there. Right. Psalm 119 and verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Right? You can't do that when you're walking in darkness. So God has always been about light all throughout Scripture. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16, one of my favorite passages, right before the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is beginning His ministry. He's going to quote Isaiah chapter 9, 1 and 2 here. And it says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned. Let's talk about Jesus. He's going to start His ministry. That's what He came here to do. Now, if you were to ask children what they're probably most afraid of, they're probably going to tell you it's dark, right? The darkness. Right? And that's just the way that we're created. We're not meant to live and operate in the dark. And, you know, children, I believe, are afraid of the dark for a reason, right? In their purity and their innocence. Probably a lot of adults also. might even admit that they're not very fond of the dark. And, you know, and here's an illustration, and we've all done it. And, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night to do whatever you got to do, and, you know, you think you can make it, because I know my house, I know where everything's at, you know, my bed, the nightstand, I got a little space here, and there's the post for the bed, and the bathroom's right there, but, you know, watch out for that dresser right there, and you think you can do it? What happens many times? I'm just going to do this in the dark. Well, you know, you stub your toe, you run into something. Right, and then you're hopping around because you smashed your pinky toe in the corner of a bed, right? When all you had to do was get a light source, right, to shine a clear pathway for you. And I think that really illustrates this here. You know, we don't turn on the light because we get comfortable with the dark as adults. And, you know, I don't need the light. I didn't need it until I did need it. But my question becomes, you know, isn't that a depiction of what many in the world are doing today? When Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So what am I going to do, right? You know, the temptation is, it's always to kind of do our own thing. I think that's temptation. You know, I know God has this creation story. I know that. You know, I know God has given me all these things, all of these blessings. You know, but here's the way I think things ought to be done. So I try to do it my way. John 11 and verse 10, but if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. So you know, I'm going to do things my way because it just makes a lot of sense to me. And it's just what I want to do. And the problem is that I find myself in sin more often than not because I'm not looking for the light. I'm not allowing the light in my life because I think I can just do it all on my own. Another way to put it, I want you to note this, the way Paul puts it in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, right? We're part of God's creation. God has a plan for us, right? A plan that he's prepared for us. So we need to keep that in mind. All right, now I want you to go to our scripture reading earlier, John chapter 1. I want to reread verses 1 through 5 in the context of what we're looking at here. So beginning in verse 1, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Right? So why do we want to become light? That's part of it, you know, and other times, why do we not want to live in the light? Why don't we want to become light or live in the light? You know, because the fact of the matter is, you know, many times I like me more than I love God. That's the problem. That's just being honest. Look at this conversation here Jesus has with Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John real quick. And listen to what he says beginning in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. So the bottom line is, many times, you know, why we don't want to become light or live in the light is because we like self more than we love God. That's what he's highlighting there, right? That's just the bottom line. That's the cold hard facts, right? A little harsh, but it's true. Darkness will always be appealing if I can do what I want to do, right? We got free will, free choice. It's always going to be appealing. And, you know, in the moment I say, well, I'm going to let somebody else take control, now that's scary. Right? That's a little bit scary. Now go back to chapter 1. I want to read verses 6 through 9 before we move on here. You know, and it talks about John being a witness. I want us to understand this. So there was a man sent from God whose name was John, right? This is John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And so John, he's not saying, look at me. He's saying, look at the light. He's saying, look at Jesus. Right? Look at the light. He's the one, right, that's going to save mankind. And Jesus would say it like this to us. Go back to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, as it begins the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. And we know this well. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Right? So this is, he's saying, who you are as a child of God. You're to be a light, right? A light to the world. Now here's what I wish Jesus would have said. I wish he would have said, you are a rheostat to the world. Right? Now that's just the official name of a dimmer switch. Maybe you've had them in your house before. We used to have one. We lived in Missouri downstairs. You know what it is, right? You can adjust the amount of light. That's what I wish Jesus would have said, right? So now I get to adjust the brightness and the dimness. Yeah, I happen to keep it on the dim side more often than not, but, you know, that's just the amount of light that I want to give. You see the issue? Right, then you can control the brightness all that you want. Right, so he doesn't say that. He doesn't say you are a dimmer switch of the world or a rheostat of the world. Right, it says you are light to the world. And you know, we want it to be a dimmer switch because we want to keep it just at that amount in the right circumstance where we're comfortable. At church Sunday, well, I'll turn it all the way up. On work on Monday, I can turn it all the way down. It's still technically on. It's way at the lowest setting. That's what we wish he said. Right? That's not what Jesus is. You're a light of the world, right? No one's going to light a candle and put a bushel over the top of it. That doesn't even make sense. Right? You light a candle, you put it on the lampstand, then you put it in the middle for all to see, right? That's who you are. You are the light. That's who we are all to be. And so here's a question we need to ask. You know, how much light? And here's, again, the difficult part is I judge the amount of light that, you know, I want to illuminate. Now, remember the word follower. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not be in darkness, right? Remember, follower speaks of a deep commitment. Right? It describes an exclusive relationship, right? It meant whatever he says, that's what I'm going to do. He's the one in control. Now, have you ever been asked the question, who's sitting on the throne of your life? Well, if you haven't, I'm going to ask that of you this evening here. You know, who's sitting on the throne of your life? And of course, you know, we would want to give the biblical answer to that. Well, of course, Jesus is sitting on the throne of my life. Right, he's one that's supposed to be there, and the question's meant to consider priorities. Right, what are your priorities? Right now, if you've never sinned, that question wouldn't matter. Right, but we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so this question matters greatly. Who is sitting on the throne of your life? Because again, kind of tied to what I was talking about earlier with the dimmer switch. You know, we say we want Jesus sitting on the throne of our life, but you know, we want to sit there also. I got a lot of important stuff to take care of, so maybe I'm just going to try to squeeze in there with Jesus. Right? And that way it's easier for me to kind of set him aside for a little bit so I can sit on the throne of my life and take care of things that I think I need to be in control of. right? I still need some control. I got to have some decision making, right? I can't just turn over all the control. Listen, if I'm different tomorrow than I am today, red flag. Something's going on. Something's wrong. Right? If I use language out there Monday through Saturday that I'm not willing to use here, something's wrong. Right? I've even heard it in the past, and not here, but you know, in the church building, somebody let out a bleepity bleep. He goes, "Oh, I can't say that here." Right? As if somehow this is a holy sanctuary where it's okay out there, but not within the doors. Right? And so if we're not the same tomorrow, if we're not a light out there tomorrow that we are here today, this is easy to be a light. Right? Something's going on. And we need to be honest with that. You know, so how much of a light are you? Let's do this. I want to go to Isaiah 43, read a couple verses, and then one more in the New Testament. We're going to finish up. And I want you to see the idea of redemption and being a witness, or being a light. Right? Now, being a witness is absolutely a biblical term. You know, some folks have taken that and made it into something that it's not. So don't be afraid of that word. So I want you to see how they go hand in hand, redemption and being a witness. And the reason they go together so well that we're going to see here is that when we're redeemed, we want to share that. When we truly understand what we've been redeemed from, that what we've been redeemed to, right? We're going to want to share that, right? Knowing that we were redeemed from the darkness, Colossians 1:13. Right? We were redeemed from the darkness. Into his marvelous light, or, you know, and also another passage to keep in mind before I read this Isaiah 43 passage here. Remember what Paul says in Ephesians 3 and verse 20? And he tells them, "Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can even think or imagine," depending on your translation, I want you to think about that. And he says, and this is according to the power that works in us as his children. You know, and I think sometimes we might think, well, I can imagine a lot. Doesn't even come close. Doesn't even come close to what God gives us. And so I want you to note here in Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2, you know, what God, his vision for you in your life is so much bigger, so much more grand than you can even begin to imagine. And so God says, let me place value in you in verses 1 and 2. "But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." Right, so Isaiah the prophet says to the people and to us, right, God has given you value. I will redeem you. I will buy you back. I will put value in you as a person. Right, and so he continues and says this, same chapter, verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin. See, God says, I see value in you. You have a role in your life that's huge, right? That's been ordained by God, right? And again, it's not about me inviting myself, or rather inviting God into my story, but it's about God inviting me into his story, into his light, into his works. And you see, you know, when I fear, though, and I can't be that much different than many brethren, what I fear is the consequences of my sin. But what I need to remember is 1 John 4 and verse 18, that perfect love drives out all fear. You know, what I fear is sometimes that I can't be forgiven. Right, because I've messed up too badly, and if God really knew that everything I did, right, how wrong I've really been, right, he just wouldn't like me that much. And so Isaiah here, speaking on behalf of God, says, you know, do not fear, I have redeemed you, right? I've given you value. Now take that value that I've given you and go share it, right? Be a light. And, you know, if you back up verse 2, especially, you know, he's not saying, you know, hey, I'm going to take you out of the world and make everything easy, right? Like what we see here in verse 2, you know, when you pass through the waters and the rivers and the flames, now you still may go through such things. He's not promising to remove us out of that, but he's saying, when I do, I will be there with you because you are valuable to me. Now let me read verses 10 through 12 here in Isaiah 43 and mention one more thing in the New Testament. We're going to finish up here. So verses 10 through 12, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. You know, as we go through the creation story, you know, hopefully we can see God in all of this. We can see God creating, right, creating in me, working in me, changing me, giving me light and life, right, giving me purpose, giving me value. Right now my response has to be to share that. And if I'm not sharing it, you know, I'm not being a light, but the problem is maybe I don't truly understand what I've been redeemed from. I don't understand the darkness that I was saved from. Right, that has everything to do with being a vessel of light. Right, we were to be carriers of light. It's not our light; it's His light. Right, we have to share it to be a light to the world. Right, that city set on the hill. Right, a light to shine to all who are in the house. Let in our light so shine before men that they glorify God who redeemed us and gave us value. Here's one more passage, the lesson is yours, and in John chapter 12, 35 and 36, John 12, beginning of verse 35, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light with it, which is with you, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Same chapter, verse 46. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not walk in darkness. So, you know, as you begin your day tomorrow and you finish out the remainder of the week, right? Remember who you are, right? We're to be lights to the world 24/7, 365. Right, we don't stop being light based on our environment. Right, just light here, we're light everywhere because that's who we are, and we are part of God's light. So you know we can become light in an ever increasing dark world. This evening, if you are here and you've never obeyed the gospel, that invitation is open for you. The invitation is that you reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in water, baptism, immersion. And you're doing that because you choose God, you love God, you believe in Jesus and who He is, John 8:24. You have a willingness to repent of your sins, Acts 2:38, confess Him before men, Romans 10:9-10. And you reenact His death, burial, and resurrection in water, Romans 6:3-4. If you haven't done that, that's a plea for you. If you have, and you're being honest, you know what? I went back into a world of darkness. I want to start over. I admit that. And if it's something you need to bring before the church, let's take care of that. We'll pray for you, pray with you. Whatever it is, if you have any need, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.